I always was very clear that I'm going to be an actor.
Really?
Absolutely. I was very young. And see, that's why, like, even in school, you get so confused because I was like, I kind of realized very early on that I don't look like any of the other girls that are called beautiful, or that are attractive or that are cool or whatever. I was different. I embraced it as much as I could, but it would also kind of put me in a tizzy.
I'm Pooja Dhingra, chef and founder of Le 15 Patisserie. Welcome to my podcast, No Sugar Code, where the sugar stays in the kitchen and out of the conversation. On this episode of No Sugar Code, my guest is the award-winning actress Bhumi Pednekar. We chat about her school days, having the best girlfriends, all our insecurities, and how difficult dating is. We also talk about her brand new film, Thank You For Coming, about five best friends who discover the depth of their love through the hilarious and heartwarming shenanigans. Here's Bhumi to tell us all. Thank you for coming on No Sugar Coat.
Yay!
I'm so excited that you're here.
I'm very excited that I'm here too.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Very excited because, like, we've waited for this day for so long and now our film's about to release and I'm a mess right now. I'm a big, big mess.
Hot mess. So what were you doing before you started acting?
I grew up in Bombay.
Bombay.
I went to a school called Arya Vidya Mandir. And actually, Rian Sonam were my seniors.
Yeah.
In school. So I went to AVM and school was great. Complicated, now that I look back.
Why complicated?
While growing up, we don't realize that there's a lot of PTSD that we have from our school days. There's a lot of trauma. And just because you're children, you don't realize that whatever you're going through is not maybe like a great situation for you to be in. And in the times that I grew up, you didn't really have like therapy or like, therapists in school or the right kind of guidance. Whatever guidance you got was at home.
So for me, for example, I've always grown up as a big girl.
Yeah.
So for me, school was really challenging because you have to like not only navigate your own feelings for yourself and how your body is changing.
Yeah.
But then all these reactions from other people, you like a boy. And then my worst memory from school is this guy who I had the biggest crush on once came and told me, I wish I had a safety pin. And I was like, what? And he's like, so then I could just burst you.
Oh
and
my
and
God.
I was like, what is happening? There's so much trauma from
me. That's so mean.
Yeah.
But people can be very mean in school. And I mean, I've had a similar journey as well, even though I really tried my best to kind of balance it out. And a lot of credit goes to my parents because they made sure that, I held on to as much self-esteem as I could. But I feel like whatever experiences you go through in school, they have a long-lasting effect, because I was really bullied in school and I actually hated going to school after a point.
But bullied, why? Was it because
of the way I looked. I did not look like how all the other conventional girls looked. And, I had big breasts and I developed really early on. And there were girls as well. It's so ironic because I have my school reunion for the first time.
Are you going?
I am going. 100%. I'm going to go with my head held high. And the thing is, I don't think a lot of them that bullied me realized what they were doing was wrong. So I don't really want to pick on them or single them out. I just feel like a lot of it comes from just our conditioning. A lot of it comes from our upbringing as well.
Have you forgiven them though?
I think so. I think I kind of went through that process of forgiving a lot of energies in my life very early on because after I lost my father, I realized we don't concentrate on the right things. And it's been a journey for me as well because I think I was very bitter after I lost my dad.
Were you young?
I was 19. And my sister was younger. And we were just lost. Everything was so right in our life, where my family was concerned. And then suddenly it all just went. Obviously, there were a lot of like financial ups and downs that happened. Suddenly from not having to care about a lot of things, we just had to take on responsibility for everything. So I think I grew up really, really fast. And I'm very proud of myself. I often pat my back because I think when I was younger, I was like, why am I going through this? Why? Like, look at my other friends. Everything is so great. Why? But I feel like there was so much ambition and there was so much drive in me because I was not left with any other option.
You had no choice.
I was my only plan A, plan B. I was like, okay, if I don't make it in life, I'll have to live the way I'm living today.
Did you know what you wanted to do with your life? Was the plan before this different and then after did it change?
No, I always was very clear that I'm going to be an actor.
Really?
Absolutely. I was very young. And see, that's why, like, you know, even in school, you get so confused because I was like, I kind of realized very early on that I don't look like any of the other girls that are called beautiful, you know, or that are attractive or that are cool or whatever. I was different. I embraced it as much as I could, but it would also kind of put me in a tiz, right? Because teenage problems, they're boys and, you know, whatever. It's cute. You go through like heartbreak and rejection, like so much rejection. But eventually you find strength in it. I was always very clear that I want to be an actor, but I don't think I had the confidence. So that's why I always just kept it to myself because I was like, no, I'm not beautiful. And
but what about it made you say like, I want to be an actor? There was no like influence of any acting in...
I mean, my grandfather was a theater actor. My mom wanted to be an actor. She actually also did a few pieces of work, but then she got married and she had us. So, you know, her dream kind of stopped right there. And she didn't have the opportunities that I fortunately had. There was a lot of conversation between her and I that happened really secretly. I don't think my father was also aware of it.
Really?
You know, because for my dad, films was like a big no. He was so protective of us that he came from a good place. You know, I don't think it was patriarchal. It was just like a father being that no, like, you know, do anything else. Why films? Like this big, bad world. How do I put like my little child out there? But my mom and I, we would talk about it often. And I was obsessed. I would go watch films. I would dress up like Karishma Kapoor all the time. I was obsessed with her. You know, I was obsessed with Rani Mukherjee. And my mom, she kind of introduced me to the more credible form of cinema because that's the kind of cinema that she enjoyed. Cinema was an active part of our life, but there was no way for me to kind of get into it. You know, and then it was my mom's best friend, Rekha Aunty, who I miss dearly. She's also not there anymore. And she kind of like, because her and my mom were best friends, my mom told her that, you know, Bhumi wants to do this. And she got me the forms for Whistling Woods. And honestly, I think I only became confident after my 10th. Because till my 10th, I was in school. And like, you know, people would like whatever. They used to call me Big Boobs Bhumi. Yeah, B cube. And I hated it. I hated it. But now I really embrace my assets. I'm very proud of them. I mean, look, however, whatever you're born with, you should just like love yourself. Yeah. And that comes with a lot of hating yourself. You know, this coming
You know, this love yourself, hate yourself. I think that this is the hardest thing.
Absolutely.
Because I think no matter what you do, what you achieve, like for me as well, right? Like my weight has always been such a big part of my life. It's always there. No matter what I do, and for whatever reason, it's there, it's not there. And like my mom will always tell me, she's like, what, you know, and you see all these things. It doesn't matter what others see. It's what you see in the mirror and how you treat yourself. And
tough. And
all of that is true. But then you're like, okay, I'll embrace myself. But then everyone around you is always telling you, this is not how you should be. And this is, you should be somebody else. And I grew up with like, you know, extended family telling me, oh, you have such a pretty face. Lose some weight. You'll never find a husband. No one will want to marry you. The first time a guy actually was interested in me and told me I was pretty. I was like 18, 19 years old. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
I was like, really? Me? Like no one in my 18 year of existence ever called me beautiful or told me I was pretty. Like it was just so...
Yeah.
So how do you let go of that?
Honestly, I think I've just reached this point recently. Hmm. It's taken me a very, very long time. And I don't think I'm still the most comfortable in my skin. It's easier said than done. You know, there are days where I'm extremely underconfident. And I think... I don't want to blame my profession, but there's so much noise around us all the time, right? Like being a girl was anyway so tough. And then like, you know, being in a profession where your first requisite is to look a certain way. You know, so I kind of went through a similar journey when I became an actor, right? Because so after school, only when I entered high school, there was some other kind of confidence that was kicked in because suddenly my ecosystem changed. You know, I just brushed my past and I just like started off afresh. I joined film school. That was fantastic. I made new friends. And suddenly I was living like this new life. I started working at YRF. I would boost excessive confidence into me even on the days where I felt like shit because, you know, there was so much happening in my life.
How does one boost confidence in themselves?
By faking it.
You know, AK, he says that as well. He's like, beta, every morning you have to stand in front of the mirror and you have to tell yourself, I am the best. Does that work?
I don't know. Honestly, that's not worked for me. But I constantly kind of remind myself that, bro, you've seen worse. You know, like you've really seen worse. You've been in places where like, you know, you've cried yourself at night. It can't get worse than that. You know, you're definitely at a better place than that. So get your shit together and get going. But dude, see, that's also a privilege.
Yeah, I'm able
to do that because of my mom and my sister and my friends.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't have that support system. Because I have that support system, every time I have a shit day, my sister Samiksha, she is like my...
She's your everything.
She's my everything.
She's your rock.
She's like somebody who just takes in so much of my bad energy when I'm feeling low. And she kind of boosts my confidence and my positivity. Because, you know, you just get insecure at times. And it could be the smallest thing that triggers you. And it takes a lot to kind of find your balance, to kind of hold on to your self-esteem.
Mm.
On days that I feel like shit, I'm like, you just have to count your blessings and get on with it because there is no choice. When you don't have a plan B,
yeah.
You can be going through a breakup. You can be going through anything in life.
Yeah.
You just have to keep your shit together.
How do you not let like negative comments or mean comments get to you?
I don't read them. I swear.
How does one get over this? I know it's just hurtful.
It would affect me a lot.
Yeah.
When I started my career and I kind of like, everything that I read was similar to what I went through in school. You know, people would comment on my body, like, you know, even though like whatever happened with my weight, etc. But it was never enough. You know, obviously there was a large section that appreciated me and I got a lot
this
of love.
Is, and I'm not going to... before the film or after?
After the film. Damlagake Haisha was one of the best things that's happened to me. And I was so desperate just for work as an actor. Obviously, the script was phenomenal. And when the script came along, I was casting for the film. And somewhere deep down, I was like praying because it was somewhere so tough for me to like go through that job for 3 years when all I wanted to do was be in front of the camera. You know, and that's why I took such phenomenal auditions that all my directors that jinki films I cast for, they'd be like, oh, you know, like, why don't you do this part? Why don't you do that part? But I was like, no, I just want to like, I don't know, how do I go tell them that I want to be like a leading lady? Because I was so embarrassed, right? I was like, I don't look like any of these girls. So how dare I have this ambition? So this was a conversation I just had with myself.
Are you serious?
I didn't tell anyone.
Because you were embarrassed of
so embarrassed. And I somewhere felt like, it wouldn't happen.
Because you'd be judged or you'd be like, who are you to do this?
Or they would be like, okay, you know, there's this smaller part. Why don't you do that? I did not want to start that way. And, you know, kudos to people that have achieved it. I didn't want that to be my journey. You know, I was always very clear. I want to be like a leading lady. I wanted films around me. But I kind of held on to that dream. And I didn't tell anyone because I was like, what if people make fun of me? And I was so good at my job that I just went on. And I'm telling you, like, the universe has insane plans for you. You just have to believe in it. You really have to manifest it. And I think I manifested it for so many years. Like for 10 years, I was 12 or 13 when I told my mom. I was 23 when Damlagake Haisha happened. I manifested it so hard that a film that did not need me to look like all my other contemporaries or like, you know, how other leading ladies have been came my way. And it changed my life.
And you had to gain weight for it?
I was always a heavier girl. But yes, for Damlagake Haisha, I gained a lot of weight. It's so weird because when I was going through that journey, people just assumed that I was unhappy. I was going through something. Oh, she's gained so much weight. Like, is everything okay? You know, do you need therapy?
Because you can't be happy.
You can't be, yeah. I was like, I'm absolutely okay. And I was genuinely maybe like in the best place of my life because I was in a beautiful relationship. I was living my dream. I had my first film and, you know, and I love food and I was just like eating my heart away and I was so happy. I was so happy and people, they just couldn't believe me. And then Damlagake Haisha happened and the film became like a rage. And then I kind of started getting back to how I was before the film. And also somewhere I knew in my head that I won't get the kind of work I wanted to do. I'm going to be very honest. Had I stayed that way. That's the harsh reality of, you know, where we are or the job that I do. And anyways, that happened. Appreciation came my way. I still did not fit like any of the body standards that were put there was a large section that loved me. And I'm here because I had like people and fans and the audience and filmmakers that believed in my craft. And I kept getting good films, one after the other. Even though such great things were happening to me, and you know, I was like doing talks on body positivity, and I was still so insecure of the way I looked.
Yeah. Even after losing all the weight.
Even after losing all that weight, because it never ends.
When I was about 16, 17, I lost about like 30 kgs. And I was the skinniest I was ever in my life. And I moved to Switzerland. And again, it was great. And then slowly over the years, I came back. And slowly, so the weight started coming back. But even at my skinniest,
yeah,
I didn't feel it. I would not feel worthy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, sometimes I think about it now and I'm like, you know, you always have this thing to check. Like, I have to get to this weight and I have to look like this. But you're like, will that really give me happiness?
Yeah. You know? I mean, see where I am today and I still feel like, I don't know, like, do I fit into that mold that's been created? People kind of boxed me.
Hmm.
And I was constantly trying to break that stereotype. Because, you know, I did a lot of like films that were heartland films. And look, again, those films gave me a lot. Awards, love, just so much respect as an actor. But I was seeing something else. And that's so sad. Like in hindsight, yeah. I was like, Bhumi, you could not enjoy any of that because you were so stuck on how you look. And then I further transformed myself. Because I was like, okay, this is what you guys think about me. My brain could not take in all the positivity. I think it's just human nature. I was just so stuck on, oh, they think I can only play like a village girl or I can't do like commercial films. And I kind of started changing my track. I started working harder on myself and I completely lost the joy of living. I was like working out for 5 hours in a day, every fat diet, you know, and then I would have a phase where I would like really take care of myself and my family was worried and then I fell sick. And I'm still like dealing with the abuse that I put my body through for like those 4 years. Dude, I used to work out for like 4 hours. I used to burn like 800 calories.
And then, did that make you happy, Bhumi?
No, bro. I was miserable. Like, I didn't have a life because all I wanted to do was look like somebody else. Why?
How do you feel today when you look at yourself in the mirror today? What do you feel like?
I think I've just lost perspective. I know, like, this is maybe the skinniest I've ever been, but there's no end to it. The way I'm looking is not because I've had like a great healthy transformation. I've been sick. You know, like I developed allergic rhinitis. I have an autoimmune condition. And honestly, all I'm doing right now is to fix myself because of which I've eradicated so many food. I'm again on a bloody diet. You know, I wish I could go back to my younger self and tell her, stop. Stop abusing your body because you don't have to fit into anybody else's vision because everything was great.
Yeah. But you just couldn't see it.
I just couldn't see it. No. I was only listening to all the garbage that came my way. I wasn't listening to all the love that came my way. If there was one person telling me that, oh no, you know, she can't do like a big masala film because of the way she looks, there were 10 people that were getting me those scripts.
Mm.
I was finding validation in people that didn't matter to me, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, there's just so much pressure that's put on you. Then suddenly the fucking biological clock starts ticking and I'm like, oh my God, I'm 33 now. I also need to have children. But if I freeze my eggs, I'll have to go through a cycle and I'll go through like 4 months of being bloated. Can I afford that right now with my career? Maybe not, because dude, it's like,
we've spoken about freezing eggs.
Yeah, exactly.
We've spoken about dating and how hard it is. And how hard is it dating when you are you? Because it's hard dating anyway.
I think add this layer of
like limelight and fame and everything else.
I think it just becomes like 10x tougher, you know, because you don't really trust people easily because you're so vulnerable, right? I'm like, and I've been there, right? After my last relationship, I didn't date for like, I wasn't in a serious relationship for 6 years. Cause I was like, it has to only be work and I'm not going to have a distraction. And I made like my work everything. And it's the same even now, but I think it's okay to have a healthy balance where I was like, no distractions, blah, blah. And then I was like, okay, it's time to kind of put myself out there. And then I realized it's a shit show. I thought we are any dating apps. I tried a dating app. Okay, there was Raya. Raya. I have Raya. Listen, the shit out of my life.
I met my boyfriend on Raya. So
no!
Whatever.
No. Pooja. I didn't meet anyone.
But imagine how intimidated someone would be to go on a date with you as well. No?
Yeah. I feel it gets a little intimidating for me as well because it's so scary to put yourself out there. I've had like a few instances where I spoke to a boy for like, say, a few weeks, you know, and whatever, met him or whatever. And we obviously aren't together. And that person has gone around like telling everyone, oh, she was crazy about me. The world is really small and everything kind of reaches you. And I'm like, dude, okay. Half of it is true, but you're making me sound like I'm like some crazy stalker. That's why I feel so vulnerable. I'm like, I don't think I can put myself out there because how else are you supposed to make a connection without speaking to someone? Isn't that normal? But they'll make it like, you know, so there was this line. Arey yaar, what was that Rani Mukherjee and Saif Ali Khan film?
Hum Tum.
Saif Ali Khan tells her ki agar ladki ko french fry do, wo bolega maine hamburger khaya. It's so true, bro. This has happened to me a few times. I've also been told, you're not going to believe this, that, you know, it was a very good zone that I was with this boy. Like, great guy, everything. But he's like, you know, it's just not going to work out because you're an actor. I didn't speak to him after that day because I was like, the one thing that I have is my work. And I worship my work. Obviously, Samiksha and my mom, I'm not including them in this statement. But my work is the only thing that has given me back 20 times. It's the most honest equation that I share. And if you think it's not worthy, honestly. Again, rejection, right? Yeah. Like from such a young age, you're just constantly told things and you just have to like keep taking all of it, still tapping into your self-esteem and self-confidence and belief.
It's tough, man.
It's tough. It's so exhausting. Like, I'm just like tired.
I just cry.
At times.
I cry a lot.
I also cry a lot. I can cry now also.
No. Rhea hates it. She's like, what are you crying about now? She's like, please stop crying.
Yeah, and I'm like,
it's just a release for me. Like, I can't deal with so many things.
Correct.
And for you, it's like 100x more.
No, bro. Honestly, I don't think so. I feel like you're a self-made, independent girl. You're also as vulnerable as I am.
No.
You know, I just feel like women in general are very vulnerable.
I mean, everyone, right? Every little girl whose family tells them, you're too dark or, you know, lose weight, you won't find a husband.
Yeah.
I think like you carry that trauma with you through everything.
Yeah, there were certain relatives of mine. I would hate one of their house. They would tell my mom, Arey, you know, you should tell Bhumi to lose weight. Arey, what's your problem?
In fact, when I was going to study hospitality and all, this one specific family member was like, why are you spending so much money on your daughter's education? She's just going to get married, all of that. And last week he sent me a message saying, Bacha, so proud of you. You make us so proud. I'm like, thank you.
Yeah, been there. Been there, dude. Because films was like a massive no. I was like the black sheep of the family. People were embarrassed.
Like, what is she doing?
This is even before I became an actor. Mm-hmm. They would not like acknowledge what I do. And after, bro, there's nothing sweeter than success. Because I have seen people change like this. And I'm telling you, Pooja, you know, as that little girl who was like, ek din main dikhaungi, it's just this thought that kept me going. Mm-hmm. I was like, I will have my due.
But you know, and then you also realize like, then you have to let go of that also.
Yeah.
Because you can't keep holding on to that because you drive yourself mad.
In hindsight, you realize that what that person thought of me does not matter.
Yeah.
But this is the only thing that keeps me going. See, because there are very few people that believe in me.
It gives you like a push. It gives me, it lights my fire. Hmm.
But again, it's also had like a bit of a negative vibe in my life as well.
Dating is hard.
Dating is tough, being vulnerable. And heartbreaks. Heartbreaks are tough.
And then you deal with them publicly.
That's tougher. It was my first time that I've had to do it.
Do you feel like people know who the real you is?
Like the audience?
Hmm.
Like in general, no.
And why?
I think a lot of it has to do with because I'm a private person.
But can you be so public and be private?
Absolutely, I managed to do it. I kind of choose where I want to talk. I kind of choose what parts of my life I want to put out. And I'll also tell you why. This is again my opinion. I think everybody's ethos of life is very different. And especially with social media, because we live in those times, we thrive in those times, and it's phenomenal and it's empowering. But it can also snatch a lot from your life. Like, for example, there have been moments from my private life that have been made public without my consent. But when those things don't work out, I have to deal with it by myself. And there's this gaze of judgment. And I've not chosen that. You know, it's been bought upon me. I feel like there's certain aspects of my life that I want to keep as is. Look, in the longer run, when I want people to remember me, I genuinely just want it to be about the films that I do, the work that I do otherwise. I don't do silly things in public. And that's been a choice. My friends know I'm crazy and I'm like a mess and I'm that girl who'll trip and fall and say like the most inappropriate things. And it's okay because that's my safety net. I trust them. I just want my roles to be remembered more than anything else. Fair.
I think it's like a protective mechanism.
Maybe.
That keeps you maybe. Safe as well.
And I also think maybe a lot of it comes from not having my father around. You know, because I am like, in many ways, kind of leading my family. And that comes with a lot of responsibility, you know. And I think my mom has already dealt with like, enough people telling her, oh, you're screwing up with your daughters. You know, why are you sending Samiksha to such an expensive law school? You know, why are you sending her abroad? Why are you sending Bhumi to like film school? Or just there's enough that she's dealt with.
You don't want to add more
I to her. Don't want to. You know, so it's more for her to kind of protect her that I just kind of keep it together.
Yeah, I get that. So you want to be remembered for your work. So should we talk about this new work that is coming out that has been a part of our lives for the last
2 years?
I feel like Rhea has just looked around her and said, I'm going to take this from you. Because this is what you guys are going through and I'm going to put it together.
Yeah.
And Kanika Kapoor was born. I mean, I just feel like there's so many shades of her that I relate to. I'm sure that, you know, other girls will. What about the character do you relate to the most?
I think every aspect of her, bro. You know, as you rightly said, there's so much of her that you relate to. There's so much of her that I relate to as well. You know, she's grown up with a lot of complexes about the way she looks, rejection in school, being picked on in school, always chasing that guy who's maybe out of her league because that's what the world told her, you know, but that's the guy she always wanted and I've been there. My league is very broad. You know, and I think that was the change in perspective that also kind of I had after doing this film. I've said this even before, this film was like a long therapy session for me. Because there were so many of my unresolved issues that I kind of came to terms with through Kanika's journey. You know, her situation with her family. Like it's her grandmom, her mom and her. It's quite similar with us as well. It's just the three of us. Her friends. Oh my God, my girlfriends are my life. I am sane because of them.
Who's like your core like friends?
My sister, my best friend is Charmaine. She lives in America. I was 3 and she was 2 when we met. And we have been joined to the hip since then. And I miss her terribly, but distance just doesn't matter. Then there is Priyanka. She now calls herself Leila because she is an art job.
She just decided to change her name.
I swear that's exactly what happened. Because one day she's like, guys, please call me Leila. I'm like, what? And she's always been she's just a unique girl. And there's so much that I've learned from all of them. Then there's Nisha. There's Rubina. And there's Tanisha. I can go and tell them anything. And they'll just embrace me.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Even like while the whole film was happening, like every weekend, we'll just be at Rhea's house and just sit there and just be like, bro, this date, this boy, this thing, this disaster, this thing at work. And it just like, it's like this cocoon of just like a safe space. You can really be yourself. There's no judgment. And people will call you out on your bullshit, at least like, you know, and you need that in your life.
Yeah, they keep me grounded.
Yeah,
they honestly keep me grounded. They don't care whether I'm the successful actor, but they are my biggest cheerleaders. Samiksha also is actually a part of that core. You know, we all are very, very close. They pick me up when I'm going through a tough time. Like the last few months weren't the best for me, you know, and these girls just kept me held on. Kanika Kapoor is one of my most cherished characters. You know, she's non-judgmental, but she's the most judgmental towards herself. She has phenomenal relationships and equations. But she's unable to hold on to the only relationship that she's chasing. That is a man. You know, she's smart. She's talented. She's successful. But she doesn't recognize any of this because she's devalued herself so much.
I told you she's inspired by everyone around her.
Like, but we all are a Kanika Kapoor.
I know.
She's such a perfect... She is actually that perfect goal, you know, because she's so imperfect.
Yeah.
And imperfections are so beautiful, right? And perfection doesn't exist.
Yeah, because what is perfection?
Exactly. Ask anybody. You go to any girl. You know, I might today be like, oh my gosh, she is beautiful.
And she'll find 10 flaws to herself.
Nothing can ever be complete.
So if you had to give a message to like young girls who are listening to this or going to go watch the film, what is the one thing that, or the couple of things that you'd want them to know or take away from it?
You are going to really, really connect with the film because you'll feel like this is your story. Because every girl is a Kanika Kapoor. I think like you'll find a lot of representation about your experiences because there are certain experiences that all of us have gone through. It's a film that's very warm. I'll tell you what happened with me, and I really hope that a lot of girls experience it. After I watched the film, I just felt liberated. I was like, I'm not alone. We all go through this mess. You know, we all are made to feel like, you know, we have no value. And dude, this is like after I've achieved all of this, you know, so I can only imagine how tough must it be for like women or girls when they are younger, when they're confused, because it was very tough for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure it was very tough for you as well. Yeah. And I feel like you'll just realize and understand that you need to stop being so hard on yourself. And you will be hard on yourself. But every time you ask, somewhere find that silver lining where you're like, listen, it's okay. Tomorrow is going to be better. Or, you know, just kind of rubbish what the other person says. Because whenever I hear now, what I've started to do is, if I hear anything that pulls me down, like obviously for some time I'm low, but then I'm like, you know what, that person doesn't know anything. They're silly. They don't know anything. They're foolish. And I just kind of move on.
If you could go back and tell your younger self one thing.
School's traumatic. But my school was really nice. You know, I've had like some, I don't want people to think that I had like a very dark. I mean, there were days. There were good days. Yeah. There were bad days. There were some really good days as well. School kind of gave me that foundation to explore, you know, because I was like so artistic. I feel something that I would tell Bhumi, who had like beautiful big breasts when she was in school, is that be proud of your body. Because you're going to be appreciated a lot for it later in every size and form. I had love before Dam Laga Ke Haisha. I had love after Dam Laga Ke Haisha. I have love even now. I had dislike as well. It depends on you what energy you want to pick. You know, I chose most times to take the energy that kind of pulled me down. You don't do that. So I think the only thing I would want to tell Bhumi from back in the day is stop being so hard on yourself.
What do you think your dad would think of you if he met you today?
Oh my God, stop it. I'm going to cry.
No, we don't have to do this. Listen, I cried this morning. It's completely fine. I think he'll be very proud. And you should be very proud of yourself.
Oh, you cry, bro. I'm sorry. I didn't think this will go this way.
It wasn't meant to. I just...
I know. I think we just spoke about like so much. I don't cry easy. But I've cried a lot. I cried at TIFF also. And I was like...
Listen, crying is completely okay. Riya Kapoor, it is a very normal, natural reaction of your body when you're under stress to cry. So just let us cry.
I think my dad will be very proud. There's a lot of him in me and my sister. And I know he's just here guiding us. Because the way I conduct myself, in the way Samiksha behaves, in the way I fight, my humor, it's all him. You learn to deal with grief. It's very difficult. But grief gives you a lot of strength. You know, so somewhere I know that I'm taken care of. And I know my dad's going to be very proud of Samiksha and I. And we are very conscious of making sure that his name lives on through us because he done a lot of good work his entire life. And we are trying to do the same.
Awesome. Thank you for being so honest and vulnerable.
Oh God, I have no
And not sugarcoating anything. Thank you for doing this, Bhumi.
Oh my God. Thank you.
Good luck for the film. I'm sure you're going to kill it. And
thank you for coming to Love 15.
I hope you liked that episode. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.